Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsey Clancy from the Hitting Tillers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Inquire?
Yes, counsel, please.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Could you please tell the jurors your first and last name?
Rachelle Amity.
Do you mind spelling your first name for the record?
R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E. Last name is A-M-E-D-E.
Thank you. And how are you employed? What do you do for work?
I'm a nurse at Brigham and Women's Hospital, the trauma surgical ICU.
How long have you been a nurse?
Almost 27 years.
And can you tell us a little bit about your educational background?
I have a bachelor's in nursing from Salem State University.
And how long have you worked at Brigham and Women's?
20 years this week.
And which unit did you say you worked in?
The trauma surgical ICU.
How long have you worked in that unit at Brigham?
8 years.
Going back to January of 2023, were you working in that same unit?
Yes.
And what was the shift that you normally worked?
I worked the night shifts, which is 7 p.m., 7 a.m.
And what was your schedule like for any given week? Did you work back-to-back shifts or?
I can sometimes work back-to-back shifts.
Okay. But you always worked the night shift?
The night shift.
Okay. I'm going to draw your attention to a particular patient that you had some interaction with in January of 2023, and that was Lindsey Clancy. Do you recall treating her?
Yes.
And was she in that trauma surgical intensive care unit?
Yes.
Do you remember the first time you interacted with her?
Yes, I got her.
And would that have been on the first night she was there on January 24th?
Yes.
How did she come to your unit at the Brigham?
She came from the emergency room, went to MRI, then came to the ICU to me.
And were you aware that she had been seen at a local hospital?
Yes.
In Weymouth, the South Shore Hospital?
South Shore.
While you were treating her on that first night, were you the main nurse assigned to her care?
Yes.
And what were your responsibilities as the nurse assigned to her care on that first night?
First night, she was intubated, came to me intubated. We had to maintain her blood pressure at a certain number, just care, regular nursing care.
Okay, and were you aware that she was on what's called a one-to-one?
Yes.
What does that mean?
That means patient usually can't be left alone, and also depending. You always have to have somebody outside the room with sort of monitor the patient.
And is that because that patient has been identified as a potential suicide risk?
Yes.
Okay. Now on that, the 24th into the early morning hours of the 25th, was there a particular event that you were witness to for this particular patient?
She coded.
What does that mean?
Means her blood pressure dropped for her. It meant her blood pressure dropped and it wasn't sustainable with life.
So what did you do when her blood pressure fell and she coded?
We started CPR. We did compressions.
And this event occurred approximately at 3:30 in the morning, correct?
Yes.
Was she eventually stabilized after that code?
She was.
And did they do something as far as intervention to try to maintain her blood pressure?
We increased her pressors. We added two more pressors. She was already on two. They placed chest tubes in, started what we call a massive blood transfusion protocol.
And did this all occur in the trauma surgical intensive care unit, or did she have to be taken to a different unit?
No, it all occurred in her room.
And other than medical staff that was treating her that particular night, did you observe anybody else present?
She had two police officers outside the room.
Okay, and so did they remain outside the room for the duration?
Always outside the room, yes.
As far as your interaction with the patient on that particular night shift, was she responsive at all during the time that you saw her?
No.
And with intubation, you mentioned she was intubated. Is a patient often sedated in order to maintain intubation?
Yes.
Why is that?
Helps them not fight the vent, breathe better, and make sure that they're comfortable.
And what does sedation do to an individual?
You're calmer, you're sleeping.
Makes them more relaxed?
Relaxed, yep.
Other than that night, that first night, the 24th into the 25th, did you have the occasion to treat this patient at other points within that week?
Yes, I have.
And I'm going to draw your attention to January 26th of 2023. Do you recall interacting with her on that day?
Yes.
And is it fair to say that on the 26th she was still intubated?
She was.
And under sedation?
Yes.
But during this time period on the 26th, was she arousable, meaning could you initiate some communication with her?
Some, yes.
And were you able to kind of give her commands in order to care for her that she was able to follow?
Yes.
And when I say able to follow, obviously...
commands.
What kinds of
commands? Can you squeeze my hand? Can you wiggle your toes? Just basic... A neuro check to just make sure she's alert and she's able to follow, understand what you're saying to her.
And for this particular patient, you're aware that she presented with a spinal injury, correct?
Correct.
And so movement of the lower extremities was not something that she did?
Correct.
But did you observe her to move her head around and move her arms around?
Yes.
Now, you also had the occasion to treat her in the overnight shift of January 28th of 2023, correct?
Yes.
And during that time, she was also still intubated?
I believe so. I'm not sure. I've had her both intubated and
okay.
Extubated.
While she was still intubated, did you have a system that you could use to communicate with her?
Yes, board. We have a whiteboard or clipboard that sometimes patients can write on.
Did you observe her to utilize that whiteboard to write on it?
Yes.
And at this point, when she's writing on the board, she's now, her eyes are open and she's responsive?
Yes.
And she's able to tell you how she's feeling, correct?
Yes.
And fair to say she used that whiteboard to tell you she was confused and that she couldn't feel her lower extremities?
Yes.
And do you recall her complaining of having pain?
I don't recall.
During this time period on the 28th, do you recall whether the patient was placed into restraints?
Yes.
And why was that?
Well, we restrain all patients that are intubated for safety.
And why?
So they don't pull out the tube or pull out any lines that they have.
Okay. And so as they're not at that level of sedation anymore where they're just completely asleep, there is danger that they could move and cause damage to
medical equipment out of the way.
Okay. Yeah. And so in this case, as far as the restraints go, fair to say that they were soft restraints.
Soft, yeah.
And what does that look like for a patient?
Meaning?
Well, like, how do you, what does a soft restraint look like?
A soft restraint, it's like maybe I would say a cushion restraint, and then it's tied to the sides of the bed. So it's all the way around your wrist.
Okay. At some point, by the end of that shift, you recall that she was extubated.
Yes.
Can you tell us what extubation is?
That means you remove the tube. You usually stop all sedation.
Okay. And were you able to make observations of the patient once she was extubated?
Yes.
Did her presentation change at all from your previous interactions with her?
No.
Did you have the occasion to treat her again on January 30th?
Yes.
And again, at that point, she has already been extubated. And are you able to then make an assessment of her without the tube and about her orientation and her alertness?
Yes.
Is that something that you kind of do each and every shift?
Every shift, yeah.
Was she still on sedation medication at that time?
No.
And what was your observations of the patient's demeanor now that she's extubated?
She's flat. No emotion either way.
And is that fairly consistent with what your observations of were of her during the course of your time treating her?
Yes.
How about being alert and oriented? Did you observe her to be alert and oriented?
She was.
And did you observe her to identify sleep as an ongoing issue?
Yes.
And so as part of the plan for treating her, did you address the sleep?
Yes.
And how did you guys address sleep?
The plan was to start the first sleeping medication for her. I don't remember exactly which one. And then wait a couple hours, see if it worked. And if not, try another medication.
Okay, and this actually occurred over the course of a few days.
A few days, yeah.
During the time when you observed her to be flat, as far as her affect goes, did you also observe her to be cooperative?
Yes.
Meaning she followed your directions?
Yes.
Did you treat her, or were you the overnight nurse for her on February 2nd, do you recall?
Yes.
On this particular night, February 2nd, do you remember her making a particular request of you or ask you for something specific?
I think that was the night she wanted to reach out to her lawyer.
Okay. And did you note that in your nursing notes?
Yes.
And why did you note that particular request?
Objection.
Can I see counsel? Yep, counsel, go ahead.
Thank you. On this particular night, the 2nd, she made a request of you for her lawyer, correct?
Yes.
Was that something she had asked you before?
No.
And so did you think it was something worth noting?
Yes.
Why would you note something like that?
Because that was the first time she referred to anything going on with the case.
Okay. And so you had the occasion after she was extubated to have some casual conversation with her, correct?
Yes.
And this was not a conversation you'd had before?
No.
What did you do when she made that request? What was your response?
I sent what we call a consult to the social worker in order to coordinate reaching out to her lawyer.
In any of the shifts that you had been caring for this particular patient, did you see anyone besides medical staff and the law enforcement that were outside of the room come in and speak with her?
No.
Were you aware that she was not to have visitors?
Yes, I was told the first night.
And is that something that you've seen before in your work as a nurse when there are police on site?
Yes.
Were you present at one point when some troopers came in to take photographs of her?
Yes.
And were you in the room when they took the photographs?
Yes.
Do you recall assisting them in viewing the injuries to her wrists and her neck?
I don't know if I don't remember assisting.
Okay, but you were present.
I was present, like, in the room with her.
And fair to say, your contact ended with this patient on February 3rd when she was transferred off of the trauma surgical ICU unit.
Yes.
One moment.
Sure.
Now, you were not the only nurse to treat her on the night shift, correct?
Correct.
So on days that you didn't work, another nurse treated her?
Exactly.
And were you familiar with the nurse who was generally assigned to treat her during the day?
Yes.
And who was that?
Megan Collins.
Megan Collins. Mm-hmm. And is it fair to say that with the law enforcement presence and this patient's particular situation, the amount of medical staff that were treating her on a regular basis was fairly limited?
Correct.
Meaning it was the same
yes.
people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Attorney Reddington.
Morning.
Morning.
So first of all, you have the certified copies of the records from Brigham and Women's Hospital. I'd like to offer these.
All right. Commonwealth, any objection?
I actually have those on a disc. I was going to put the disc in instead of all the paper.
Why don't we put both? Why don't we put both in?
Sure.
We could do A and B.
41 A and B.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about a lawyer first. Since that was the last that they asked you about, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of these dates or facts, she was admitted on the 24th of January. Is that correct?
Yes.
And do you have a memory as to approximately what time was it in the evening?
Well, she got to the ICU. It was around 3.
Okay. You're very soft-spoken.
Sorry.
You can just keep your voice up so all the jurors can hear you.
She got to the ICU around 3 a.m.
Thank you. And she came by med flight?
She came to me from MRI.
And MRI, obviously, would be when you're taking the pictures.
Picture, yeah.
And that would be on the 24th of January in the early morning hours, correct?
I think it went into the 25th.
Into the 25th?
I think so.
counsel asked you about the whiteboard that she would write on. And I think it was, again, if I'm wrong, correct me, was it January 28th that she used for the first time the whiteboard to communicate?
Yes.
And the whiteboard basically is just a whiteboard, and,
yeah.
and you write on it.
Erasable.
And she was not able to speak because she was intubated, right?
Yes.
And she was in the restraints that you've described as well, right?
Right.
Moving forward, January 28th, 29th, 30th, into February 1st, February 2nd, it was on February 2nd that counsel asked you about her asking to reach out to her lawyer, correct?
Yes.
And do you know who her lawyer was at that time?
No.
Had you seen him before?
No.
Did you know, is his name Attorney Gelb?
No.
Make any reference to you?
No.
Do you know that whether or not she had conversation with Attorney Gelb regarding her status as being under arrest by the numerous police that were guarding the room?
I don't.
Do you know whether or not she was ever able to talk to Attorney Gelb, or did you refer her to the social worker people?
I've put in a consult for the social worker.
Okay, thank you. When she was admitted on the 24th, would you agree that she was in the state of cardiac arrest shortly thereafter?
Shortly after arriving to me.
So I'm looking at the medical records that have been introduced for the jurors, and I'm referencing on page 18, if I may. Now, this is one page of 400 pages of medical records.
Can you see that?
But.
All right, here we go.
Looking at this, does it indicate the it's a SICU course.
Surgical ICU.
Sorry?
Surgical ICU.
And that makes reference to the fact that shortly after arriving in the ICU, the patient had a cardiac arrest. Is that there?
Yes.
Were you there then?
I was.
And when it says the etiology of the arrest, she got two rounds of CPR before obtaining ROSC. Can you tell me, please, what is CPR? Two rounds of what is ROSC?
Meaning we did chest compression. She was already intubated, so she was getting oxygen.
Okay. And then bilateral chest tubes were placed in her body?
Yes.
Does that mean from both sides?
Both sides.
Okay. And that punctures through the chest into what, the lungs?
The lungs.
Okay, the lungs. And when they placed the chest tubes, at this point, shortly after admission, there was 100 to 300 cc's of blood from each chest tube? What does that mean?
That's the output they got once they put the chest tube.
Again, just can you...
That's the output they got once they put the chest tube in.
Okay. So when they put the chest tube in, it drained 100 to 300 cc's of blood. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then after that, again, shortly after admission to the hospital, coming from South Shore Hospital, she then got a massive transfusion protocol, which you told us about, right?
Yes.
And what does that mean?
Means she gets, we have a protocol that with blood, depending blood products.
Okay.
She gets infused rapidly.
And was there a notice shortly after arrival to the ICU, she was being turned and had 30 cc's of clear fluid that came out of her nose. Is that right?
Yes.
And what is that? Was there a suspicion that that was what's called CSF?
Yes.
And what is CSF?
It's spinal fluid.
Okay. Going to the next page, which would be 19, does it indicate, again, on there, if I can just bring this up a little bit better. So she now has noted acute blood loss, anemia, right? What does that mean?
She has a low blood count.
And do you know what happened to the blood or any idea?
I do not.
So she had very low, lost a lot of blood, right?
Yes.
And she had anemia. That would be what, low blood or something?
Yes.
And she required multiple transfusions immediately following her arrest, right?
Yes.
And when it says arrest, does that mean arrest by the police or does that mean the cardiac? I want to make sure that's clear. It's cardiac arrest, nothing to do with the police. Okay. And she had required multiple transfusions. And you were there for that, correct?
Yes.
Were you aware of the extent of the, after you had the after you had the MRIs and the CAT scans, were you aware as her, the lead nurse or treating nurse, as to what the extent of her injuries were?
At that point, I don't believe so.
At some point, did you become aware of that?
Yes.
Okay, so, and again, I've got the records, you don't, so let me do it this way, just to make it easy. Do you remember that she had a burst fracture of C1?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Means a cerebral fracture.
That would be up here? So this is the cervical spine.
Cervical.
Up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then T5 and T6, there was a transection. What does that mean?
Thoracic.
Okay, so
on the spine.
Down here. Yeah. And when it says transection, what does that mean?
It's severed.
And then T1, 2, 3, 4 also were injured as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is neurogenic shock? What does that mean? If you know.
Neurogenic shock?
Sorry, yeah, neurogenic shock. It just makes reference on...
These are not my notes, so I can't really...
That's fine, I understand. And this would be on page 65. Do you recall reviewing the documentation as to the what's captioned present illness in the records?
Did you know that she was presenting as a transfer from South Shore Hospital?
Yes.
Did you know that she was, that under present illness and the history would be that she's a 32-year-old female with history significant for postpartum depression? Did you know that?
Yes.
And did you know that after the fall with the C1 burst fracture and the complex transection of T5 and T6, she also had rib fracture, correct?
Yes.
On page 66, that would make reference to the time frame going into the 25th, on the 25th, that she was reacting to painful stimuli, right?
Yes.
And that basically means that she's not conscious, if you will, but she's able to react to...
If you cause pain.
Yeah. Okay. There's a notation of a contusion, laceration, and crushing of the thyroid with thyroidal edema. What does that mean?
She has swelling, I'm assuming, around her thyroid.
Okay, and that is...
Again, this is not my scope of practice, so...
Okay. On page 70, the same evening, making reference to the fact that in addition to the injuries to the spine, that she also had the rib fractures and was currently in shock. Do you remember that she was in shock? Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. Would you agree or do you recall that there's a notation that this patient is critically ill and noting that she has postpartum psychosis on page 72?
Objection.
I see counsel.
Sorry. When you're treating a patient, one of the things you try to do is to know what their total body and emotional condition is, what they've been dealing with, and what injuries they have, right?
We get a rundown or history of the patient.
Sure. And as it goes into the end of January, and she had been communicating on the whiteboard, you were aware at that point why she was in the hospital, right?
Yes.
You knew where she came from, South Shore Hospital, right?
Yes.
And you knew that there had been discussion about postpartum psychosis. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall that, and this would be on, may I approach you under the witness?
You may.
Thank you.
You could maybe, if you could show counsel. Wait.
I want the date and the time. Okay, and the lawyer, legal team. So I'm just showing you one page from the medical record. Can you tell me in terms, what date is this page from?
125.
January 25.
Yeah, if I'd ask you if you keep your voice, at least speak in the...
Oh, sorry, part. Yeah.
No, thank you.
January 25th.
Okay, does it say what time?
9 a.m., 9:03 a.m.
All right. Can I see that for a second? Thank you. And looking at that, do you recall on that date, you had been working with her the night before, correct?
Correct.
Where it indicates that patient's under arrest, right?
Yes.
And there... There are police officers at her bedside.
Right? Outside the room.
Well, it says at her bedside on the record, doesn't it?
In the record, but I'm saying so
the night before...
They were outside her room.
Outside the room. You were not there during the day, apparently, right?
Correct.
Okay. And there's a difference from you guys as far as your medical records. If the police officer is at the bedside as opposed to sitting in a chair in the hallway outside the room.
Yes.
Okay. So, indicating police officer at her bedside,
we will involve the social work and legal teams, right?
Yes.
Okay. And again, on page 72, there's a reference to CSF leak, and that's significant. It says significant amount of fluid coming from her nose. Do you have any memory of observing that in your treatment?
I did.
Okay. And then, of course, there was the code event that you've already described for us. There's the 100 to 300 cc's of blood coming from the tubes, and then it makes reference to, on page 74, it's a massive transfusion protocol. Is that like a medical term, or is that somebody describing it? Or
it's a medical, like it's a protocol that we have at the hospital.
Okay. And on page 75, did you make reference to, or did you observe the injuries, for example, to her wrist?
I observed.
Yes. And would you agree with me, page 75 of the medical record, indicating, if it says RUE, what does RUE mean? Do you know?
Oh, right upper extremity.
Right upper extremity. 3.5 centimeter deep laceration. Volar aspect of wrist. Can you tell me, what is the volar aspect of the wrist? I just don't know.
I'm not sure what that's referring to.
That's fine. Would you agree that there was noted a 3.5 centimeter deep laceration on her wrist?
I can't say because I didn't measure. This is somebody else's note, so.
Well, when you looked at her, did you observe with your own eyes and your own experience that she had a deep laceration on the...
She had a laceration, yes.
You can't say it's deep or not?
I can't say. I didn't...
You want to say it was superficial?
I can't say that either.
So when you looked at the laceration on her wrist, you can't tell us if you would agree that it was a deep laceration.
I really didn't get to assess it at the time when she arrived. So.
LUE, underneath that, left upper extremity apparently, right?
Yes.
2 centimeter deep laceration, again, on the volar aspect of the wrist. You did see laceration on her left wrist?
Yeah, she had dressings.
Okay. And when she was admitted, she had the core temperature of 82 degrees. Is that correct?
If that's what's noted.
All right. Do you remember, did they use a bear claw or something like that? What is it they call it? They put
a bear hugger?
Bear hugger. They put a bear hugger blanket on them. And when I say them, I mean people that have a low
temperature to warm them up.
It hopefully raises the temperature, right?
Yeah.
And then if it has warm intravenous IVF, that would be putting warm saline in the body?
Yes, through an IV.
All right. All with an effort to try to get the temperature up, right?
Yeah.
And her core temperature was 82 degrees even after she was at the South Shore Hospital and underneath the bear thing and all that, and still?
That's what's noted. Yeah. Again, that's not my note.
That's pretty low, isn't it?
It is.
And you made reference to pressors. I'm sorry. Can you
pressors, tell me? Blood pressure medication to bring up the blood pressure.
Okay. On January 26th, she was still intubated. Is that right?
Yes.
And she was under sedation, right?
Yes.
And then you referenced January 28th, overnight shift, she was still intubated, right?
Yes.
And January 28th is when she first started utilizing the whiteboard. Is that correct?
Yes.
But she was intubated? Yes?
Yes.
She was restrained to the bed?
Yes.
And had the tube was still in her mouth, and she was writing on a whiteboard on the 28th of January, correct?
She was able to, yes.
January 30th, she was extubated, as the district attorney asked you, right?
Yes.
So at that point, was she able to talk?
Talk.
Okay.
And then on February 2nd is when she used the, she asked about wanting to reach out to her attorney. Is that correct?
Yes.
But you had no knowledge as to her mother and father getting an attorney for her while she was in custody with the police all around her?
No.
Okay. And you tried to help her out as best you could.
Yeah, to coordinate. It's harder at night to, you know, so I wanted to pass it on.
And finally, she was not able to have visitors per order of the police. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come on, redirect.
Miss Amity, the first time that Ms. Clancy, the defendant, the patient, used a whiteboard with you was on January 28th, correct?
Yes.
You're not aware of if she used that tool with other nurses on other shifts,
no.
Were you?
No.
And the first time that she mentioned a lawyer on the February 2nd, that's the first time she mentioned a lawyer to you, correct?
Correct.
You were asked about the trauma in the chest tube and that she lost 100 to 300 cc's of blood.
Yes.
The transfusion came after that, correct?
Yes.
And fair to say the course of her treatment coming to Brigham was that she first came in through the emergency department, correct?
Yes.
Then she was sent for an MRI.
Yes.
And then she came to the trauma surgery, correct?
Yes.
And you're aware that she had other imaging like CT scans, correct?
Yes.
And that especially when it came to the head CTs, she didn't have any intracranial injuries or anything that required that you be focused on her head injury, correct?
Correct.
So it was more a cardiac issue and keeping her stable and internal bleeding in the chest area.
Yes.
As far as what you're aware of from other treating physicians, you're aware Dr. Anderson was one of the trauma surgeons that was treating the patient?
Yes.
And he was making assessments and giving orders to you and other nurses, fair to
yes.
say?
Yes.
And are you aware that he identified in the history that this patient actually had a history of postpartum mood symptoms, not psychosis?
I would have to look at the note. I don't remember.
Those aren't notes that you would have written?
No.
And you weren't taking a full history of the patient?
Not at the time, no.
Okay. Were you aware that she then subsequently was fully evaluated by the psychiatric team?
I knew she saw psych, yes.
And were you aware that they ultimately identified that there's an inherent uncertainty in her diagnosis?
I do not remember.
Okay. As far as the lacerations went, in your treatment of her, again, you treated her overnight shifts for various days, correct?
Yes.
Did you ever have a situation where you had to change her bandages because they were seeping?
No.
And are you aware that
for the first night, but we didn't get to that because she coded.
Because she coded.
Yeah.
And then you're aware that the next day after, another individual, a physician's assistant, actually came in and treated those lacerations.
Sutured, yeah.
And as far as Dr. Anderson goes, were you aware that on January 25th, he noted that the lacerations to her neck and wrists were very superficial and didn't require treatment at that time?
I was not aware. I don't remember that note.
Would you... if I showed you the record that that's in his note, would
yeah.
you agree that that's an assessment that he made?
Yes.
Okay. And he didn't instruct you to do anything further with those injuries?
Yes, right.
Thank you.
Just very briefly.
Sure.
District Attorney asked you about the evaluation by the, as she put it, psychiatric teams with a determination that there was inherent uncertainty according to the psychiatric teams. Do you know when the psychiatric teams were evaluating her?
I don't know. It was after, during the day.
Okay.
I don't know what day, but...
But in any event, I did show you on the thing over there, the where the reference was made to postpartum depression, postpartum psychosis, correct?
Yes.
And... That's all I have. Thank you, ma'am.
Anything further?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Let me sit down. Thank you, ma'am. Ask you to speak into that microphone. Keep your voice up.
Okay.
All right. Attorney Buckingham, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Can you please tell the jury your first and last name?
Megan Collins.
Would you mind spelling your first name for the record?
M-E-G-H-A-N. And Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S.
Thank you. And what do you do for work?
I'm an ICU nurse.
And how long have you been a nurse?
11 years.
And did you go to school for that?
Yes.
Where'd you go?
Sacred Heart.
What hospital do you currently work at?
Brigham and Women's.
And how long have you worked there?
8 years.
In January of 2023, what unit were you working on at the Brigham?
The trauma surgical ICU.
Did you work a particular shift?
I did.
And what shift was that?
7 a.m. to 7 p.
So 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.? And you just have to answer out loud, sorry.
Okay, yes.
I'm going to draw your attention to a particular patient that was treated there beginning on January 24th, Lindsay Clancy. Are you familiar with that patient?
Yes.
Were you a nurse that was treating her during that day shift while she was in the ICU?
I was.
Are you aware that she arrived at that Brigham Hospital on January 24th of 2023?
When she was admitted to our ICU, it was overnight.
So as far as the hospital, do you know when she arrived at the hospital?
I believe the day, evening prior.
And you, a patient who comes to your hospital doesn't automatically come to the ICU, correct?
That's correct.
Where do they go first, usually?
The emergency room.
And you're aware this particular patient actually went through a local hospital before being transferred to the emergency department at Brigham and then to the ICU, correct?
Correct.
And so when you interacted with her, she had already been at the ICU unit for that night shift. Is that fair to say?
Correct. Interacted. She was intubated when she arrived.
And were you with her the entire day of the 25th from that 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. shift?
Yes.
And was she on what's called the one-to-one during that day?
Yes.
And what does that mean for you as the nurse if she's on the one-to-one?
She was one-to-one nursing per our ratios because of how critically ill she was.
And so you were there pretty much the entire time?
Correct.
Were there any other people there other than the medical staff and yourself treating her? Were there any other people there?
There were officers, police officers.
And they were outside the room?
Correct.
Had you taken over care of this patient from another nurse on the night shift?
Yes.
And who was that?
Rochelle.
And you are familiar with Rochelle? You've worked with her before?
Yes, I have.
And were you advised that over the course of the night shift that this patient had coded?
I was.
And when you came on shift in the morning, because of what had happened overnight, were you aware that she was sent for additional CT scans?
We went for CT imaging in the morning when I got there because she was not stable overnight.
Okay. And you said she was intubated, correct?
Correct.
How about, was she responsive during that first day that you encountered her?
The first shift that I had her, we were focused on her injuries and keeping her sedated, so the interactions, responses were minimal, but that was intentional as she was, again, like I said, so critically ill.
And so you also said that she was sedated for the majority of that day, correct?
Yes.
And is that something that often happens when a person is intubated, that they're sedated?
It is.
What happens if an individual isn't under sedation and they're intubated?
It is patient dependent, but majority of patients are not able to tolerate the breathing tube and it's uncomfortable, so we give them medications to keep them as comfortable in tolerating the breathing tube as possible.
Now, you mentioned treating injuries and keeping the patient stable as your primary goal, correct? Were you able to make note of some physical injuries that the patient had?
Yes.
And were there some obvious injuries that you could observe?
Yes.
To her neck and wrist area?
Correct.
May I approach the witness? Just going to show you two photographs, okay? Does that look familiar to you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that to be the patient, Lindsay Clancy?
I do.
And fair to say, she has a breathing tube?
She does.
And then the second one, again, just the other side of her neck. Is that familiar to you?
Yes.
Are these very accurate representations of the neck injury that you observed for this particular patient?
To the best of my memory, yes.
All right, they may be admitted. 142
and 143. I'm going to show you on the screen what's been marked as Exhibit 142 and 143. And you said that's to the best of your memory what the injuries on her neck look like, correct?
That's correct.
And during your treatment of her, did those injuries require constant attention?
They required dressing changes. It did not require constant attention. She had multiple injuries.
So fair to say she had more significant spinal injuries and other issues that you were working to stabilize her on, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you treated her on the 25th, right? And did you treat her on the 26th? To your best of your memory?
I would have to go back and look.
I don't have a problem if she needs her or with records if she has them.
As far as January 26th on that 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. shift, do you recall making notes that the patient required additional sedation due to the tube intolerance?
Yes.
Okay. And that she was started on low dose of propofol?
That is correct.
And that in the afternoon that she had chest tubes and you kind of checked those chest tubes to, it says, interval CXR looked okay with chest tubes to water seal.
Yes, that's correct.
And so she had previously been given chest tubes and your role was just to kind of make sure that everything was fine.
They placed bilateral chest tubes and monitoring those is a part of my responsibilities in the ICU, and we were concerned for her respiratory status, so that is why I made a note of it.
Okay. And as far as the injuries that were a part of your assessment of her, fair to say on January 29th, you also were treating her that day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and you made a note where you identified injuries, right?
Correct.
And those injuries would have been things that were reported to you based on a doctor's review of labs and images and that kind of thing, correct?
Yes.
You don't make your own assessment about thoracic injuries or cervical injuries?
I do not diagnose.
Also, on the 29th, or the 28th into the 29th, that is at that point when the patient was extubated, correct?
Correct.
Do you recall making observations of the patient when she was after she was extubated?
She was not extubated on my shift. I was there the following day.
Okay. Did you note how her demeanor, her presentation the next day?
I did.
And fair to say, you noted increased confusion, agitation, and picking at lanes, lines and drains, correct?
That's correct.
And fair to say, the patient had to be restrained because of the activity.
That is correct.
Is that something that you often see when patients come out of intubation, that when they're extubated, that they exhibit signs of confusion or delirium?
Yes, it's called ICU delirium.
And over the course of the next few days, in your interactions with her, did you see that delirium decline or decrease?
Yes, it was a multimodal approach to manage the delirium, agitation, and it did get better and it did improve.
And fair to say, during the time that you were treating this particular patient, there was also sleep issues that were part of the treatment plan.
That is correct.
And on January 29th and January 30th of 2023, were you present when the psych consult team came in to speak with the defendant?
Yes, I was.
Okay. What was the purpose of you being present?
The purpose is, we had consulted the psychiatry team to evaluate and determine capacity. And my role is as the ICU nurse, is advocacy on behalf of the patient and to alert the providers if there's any changes in the mental status.
Now, when they came in and you said advocate for their position, you're aware that the patient was looking to change her healthcare proxy, correct?
The patient was changing her healthcare proxy. That is correct.
And that there has to be an evaluation to determine whether she's of a particular mental status and medically able to make that decision on her own. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall who was present other than yourself and the psych doctors, the doctors from the psychiatric unit?
There was the social worker, myself, and her lawyer was present.
Had you been present when a lawyer or somebody else was with her prior to this consult?
There, no.
And fair to say, you were made aware very early on that there was a particular group of people that would be having access to this individual, correct?
Can you clarify?
Well, is it fair to say that the treatment team was kept small on purpose? I mean, the same people were coming in and being the nurse, day and night staff. There was limited access. Is that fair to say?
It was kept to a, yes, it was kept to a smaller team, but that was also protection of privacy for the patient.
And during the course of time when she's on the ICU, which is between the 24th to February 3rd, there's always law enforcement posted outside the room, correct?
Yes, and it was because she was...
Well, I'm just asking you if there were law enforcement.
There was.
Okay. Do you recall having to check with the nursing director and the legal team at the hospital to make sure that it was permissible to allow anyone in besides medical staff?
Yes, that's standard protocol.
And when she was transferred off of the your unit on February 3rd, did you have any further contact with her?
I did not.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
All right. Attorney Reddington.
Afternoon, I think. Yeah. How many years have you been a nurse?
11.
And you obviously take that position as very serious, and your concern is to protect your patient. Is that right?
That is.
You made reference to the fact that she was changing her her documents as far as healthcare proxy.
Yes.
Did you know anything? Did you know who she was changing it from, her husband to her mother and father, or did you know anything about the specifics?
She was changing it from her from Patrick to her parents.
Thank you. And finally, what is a DNR?
DNR means do not resuscitate.
Do you know what her DNR was?
Her code status was full at the time that I took care of her.
Do you recall that she had indicated repeatedly that she wanted a DNR, that she did not want to be resuscitated if emergency arose?
I was not privy to that knowledge.
Okay, but that's noted in the medical record. It would be noted in the records, right?
It would be, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Attorney Buckingham?
Nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.